The world's deep night is shattered by the light of God's new day. The glory of God is revealed to poor shepherds who share the good news with others. The Gospel according to Luke, the second chapter. In those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration and was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. All went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. In that region, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors." When the angel had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Be seated. Good morning. Merry Christmas to each of you. Welcome to worship here at Queen Anne Lutheran. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus, who is the Christ. Amen. Last night, Christmas Eve, I hinted at a startling claim at the heart of Christianity, a claim that I believe reveals the true meaning of Christmas. What was that claim? At the heart of the Christian story lies a sacrifice that is greater than Jesus's death on the cross. That sacrifice is the one that occurs some 30 years prior in the cradle, in the incarnation. There, Almighty God humbles God's self in Christ to make himself accessible to humanity. There, God abandons God's omnipotence by becoming, as Martin Luther often put it, small for us in Jesus Christ. There, as Titus 2:14, our reading from yesterday, and Philippians 2:7, which talks about how God empties God's self to take on human form, there, God gives up being Lord over us to be Emmanuel, as Matthew 1:23 calls God, or God with us as the incarnate Word in history. This great self-sacrifice, a secret in many ways, this becoming small for us in Jesus Christ, this, I submit, is the true meaning of Christmas. Now let's stop for a moment and ask, why would such a sacrifice be necessary? Why would God, at great cost to himself, become small to us in Jesus Christ? Luther, Martin Luther, was clear. God in God's majesty would be overwhelming to us. No one, as various authors of Scripture confirm, no one can experience God directly and live. So God, once again at great cost to God's self, becomes small, sacrificing himself as Lord over us to be with us in the Christ child. I would like to suggest that it is in this very act of humbling himself that God reveals to us who he is. A gracious God, a God of loving kindness, as our second reading puts it, a God that Psalm 145 could foreknow as one abounding in steadfast love. This, in fact, is the nature of love. The nature of love is to give itself away for others, and that is precisely what God as love does for us by becoming small in Jesus Christ. The Christmas story tells us of the greatest sacrifice God could make. One where God in Jesus Christ sets aside his sovereignty over us by becoming human, the result of which is a disclosure, a revelation of who and what God truly is. Now, I realize some people, perhaps about 80 million Christians, think otherwise. Sometimes, and it's understandable, we want an all-powerful God who reigns from heaven, an all-powerful God who is in control, an all-powerful God who gives everything in life a purpose and makes everything, as the common cliche goes, happen for a reason. But is this really the God we see at the heart of the Christmas story? The God who dwells in the infant Christ lying helpless in a manger, waiting for us as Mary to tend to him? It's blasphemous if you think about it, and I do on occasion. What the incarnation shows us is that God's ways aren't ours. God ultimately comes to us not in power, majesty, and might, but in a whisper. In this case, God whispers himself to us by becoming enfleshed, by becoming incarnate, by dwelling among us, letting go of God's position above us to become Emmanuel, God with us. A process some theologians refer to as a metamorphosis, a transformation, even a momentary death of God, insofar as God gives up one mode of being to join us in another. And so my question for today, the day after Christmas Eve, what now? If God has indeed, at great cost to himself, become small for us in Jesus Christ, condensed God's presence, walking with us in history, sacrificing himself in one form to be present to us in another, how might we, each of you and I, respond to what God has done? That's a tough question. Fortunately, Ephesians 5:1 has an answer. We heard it throughout the season of Advent. Be imitators of God, it says. Imitators of God. That, I submit, makes little sense apart from the cradle and finally the cross of Jesus Christ. What is God doing in these things, and what are we called to imitate? Answer, as God has done, give yourself, your time, your talents, your treasures to others, just as God has given God's self to us in the cradle, life, and cross of Jesus Christ. Over Advent, you were asked to consider this way of being, this new way of life to which each of us, you and me, is called. The life of God, that God exemplifies to us by descending into the flesh, by giving God's self up in one form to be fully and completely present to us in another. This is something I pray for myself. Grant me, I ask God, the spirit of generosity that you have revealed to live for others, to live as you, Lord, lived for us in the birth and death of Jesus Christ. But, dear friends, my inspiration comes not only from what God did and the life he exemplified by becoming incarnate and giving himself to us fully, totally, and completely. It comes from you. It comes from you, members of Queen Anne Lutheran Church, whose spirit of generosity has revealed itself to me in so many ways during these first 6 months of my call as your pastor. Collectively, in your quilt making, in and through your volunteering at Mary's Place, in your dedication to the church through the Altar Guild, in your support of ministries like Church of the Steadfast Love, in your concern for social justice, and personally, in the support you've given me for the care of my ailing mother, in the help more than several of you have given me at the parsonage, in your profoundly kind words, words of encouragement and support, I see not only you imitating God, I see God incarnate as Christ in you when you live this way. You've taught me that Christmas isn't something that happened once upon a time. Christ is born every single time we live for one another. 1 John 4 puts it beautifully. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is perfected in us. In this way, as it were, we make God exist. We draw God out of heaven, out of abstraction, into being, just as the story of God's birth in Christ illustrates. We make God exist when we live for one another as God lives for us in Jesus Christ. People, and I've met a few among you here at Queen Anne Lutheran, want proof for the existence of God. Well, to them I say, I'm looking at it right now. At the heart of the Christian faith lies a startling revelation, one that discloses to us not only the true significance of this season, but also the very nature of God from a Christian perspective. In the cradle of the Christ child, away in a manger, lies the Almighty God of the universe, a God who at great cost to himself became small for us in Christ, revealing to us in this act his grace, his goodness, or as Titus says, his loving kindness, showing us true power by relinquishing it out of love, which is far greater to be present to us here and walk with us in our lives. This morning, the day after Christmas Eve, we pair this claim with a renewed emphasis on how to live as Christians fully in the world. Let us live even more fully into our mission, into the life God has called us. Indeed, let us make God real by giving to others out of gratitude as God has given himself to us in Jesus Christ. The God in whom we believe, the God who not only was born, but is born each time we love and reach out to one another. This is the meaning of Christmas. Amen.